Morning. Today's daf in Erevin Ayin Zion. We are in the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Yesterday we started the seventh parak of the Masechta. Seventh parak in continuation of its discussion regarding Eruv Chatzeros. Then we're talking about two Chatzeros that are joining one another, separated by a wall. Under certain circumstances, they can make a joint Eruv. Under other circumstances, they cannot make a joint Eruv. And then there are occasions where it becomes optional. And so what we're discussing over here in these Mishnahs and the Gemara is what exactly are those circumstances. The basic idea is that if I have a wall separating two chatzeros and there is no portal and there's no entry point to get from one chatzer to another chatzer, so that would be a circumstance where these two chatzeros are totally disjointed, totally disconnected, and one cannot make a joint eruv between the two. On the other hand, if you have a wall but you have a Pesach, you have an opening allowing access from one chatzer to another chatzer, so then there is an option. They can either remain separate one from another, or if they would like, they could be ma'ar v'nachad, they can make one joint eruv between the two of them. Yesterday we went through the first Mishnah of the Perek. We talked about the chalon, we talked about a small window, and all you need is a small window, really not that large, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, approximately 1.5 foot by 1.5 foot, not even. And as long as it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, and any part of the window being 10 tefachim of the ground, so under those circumstances, one would in fact be allowed to consider these two chatzeros as one chatzer, giving the two of them the option to make a joint eruv. We discussed a little bit of geometry yesterday regarding drawing a circle around that square. Good, and we got a little bit. We got back a little bit into geometry yesterday. We are already up to the second Mishnah here on Ayin Vav Amud Beis. We continue now with the Mishnah, Kosto Shemein Beis Chatzeros. Our Mishnah over here now is going to be describing where I have a wall that is between these two Chatzeros, Gavoa Sara, V'rochav Arba'a. So the wall is 10 tefachim high, and there is a width to the wall. That means to say that when you go to the top of the wall, you can actually stand on the top of the wall, and there's an area on the top of the wall that is 4 tefachim. Obviously, with the length being however long the wall is. So, ma'arvim shnayim ve'ein ma'arvin echad. So, here's a circumstance in which they cannot make one singular eruv. They cannot join forces to make an eruv, but rather they're going to have to make two distinct eruvim. Now, as far as the width of the wall is concerned, so that is there to teach us a different point, which is hayah barosh operos, eilo ola mikan ve'ochlin, ve'eilo ola mikan ve'ochlin. Now, what can you do on the top of the wall? And really, what that issue over here is, how do we consider the top of the wall? Whose property is it when you get to the top of the wall? So the Mishnah, without directly addressing or asking that question, the Mishnah rather describes what can be done on the top of that wall. So let's go back and let's just reread that last line of the Mishnah. Barosho peros. So if, let's say, there is fruit on the top of the wall, the Mishnah doesn't describe who the fruit belongs to. So putting that aside for just a moment, each member of each of the chetzeros can go up to the top of the wall and eat on the top of the wall. But what they cannot do, says the Mishnah, is they cannot remove the fruit from the top of the wall, meaning that the fruit has to remain on the top of the wall. Let's take a look at Rashi over here. As far as the width of the wall is concerned, Rashi says that the width of the wall is only a detail mentioned in the Mishnah only because of the case of the fruit. Meaning to say, as far as separating the two chatzeros, so there doesn't need to be any width to the wall. Meaning as long as there is a wall barrier separating the two chatzeros, so that would be enough to separate the two chatzeros. The only reason why the width of the wall comes into our Mishnah is only because of the description of the fruit, and really subsequently it's going to then come down to a discussion which we're going to have later on in terms of, well, how do we consider the top of the wall? Rashi writes over here, first Rashi in the Mishnah, Hai denakat rachav arba mishum seifa nakat lein. As far as the width of the wall is concerned, that's only coming for the later point of the Mishnah. Debai lemisne, hayu rosho peros eilo ole mikan v'ochlim avad shalo yorid lamata. Dechashiv rishusa ba'anpe nafshe. It's just there to highlight the idea that the area on the top of the wall is it's an independent rishus, it's an independent domain. And we don't just simply say that the top of the wall is some sort of annexation of either of the chateros. Pusya havi stuma ve'in mar v'nechad. But as far as separating the two chatzeros, so you don't need any width of the wall. As long as there's wall over there, that would be sufficient. That would be enough in order to separate the two chatzeros. So a critical point by Rashi in terms of understanding the Mishnah regarding why the Mishnah is giving us this detail regarding the width of the wall. Back to the Mishnah. Nifritzu hakosel ad eser amos mar v'shayim ve'imras mar v'nechad. Memneshu kepesach yoster mikan mar v'nechad ve'in mar v'shayim. And then the Mishnah describes the following. Let's say there's an opening in the wall. There's a breach in the wall. But the word breach over here is going to be used slightly loosely. It just simply means that there's an opening in the wall. And the opening is less than 10 amos. So any opening in a wall that's less than 10 amos, so we'll view that as a Pesach. As such, basically what we're looking at is what we saw in yesterday's daf, which is that basically I still have my wall intact. It just happens to be that there's an entrance that allows access from one side of the chatzer to the other side of the chatzer, to the other chatzer. So under those circumstances, now we have the option. They could make a singular eruv if they want, or they can remain divided. If, however, the pirtza is greater than 10 amos, so now basically what we've lost is we've lost a wall entirely. Once we lost a wall entirely, so then our only option is to make one joint eruv, because the truth of the matter is that we don't view these chatzeros anymore as two individual chatzeros, but rather we view it as one chatzer, and so therefore their only option at this point in time is to make a joint eruv, right? The words joint eruv in of itself is even slightly misleading because they're no longer viewed as two separate chatzeros. The Gemara begins, Ein bo arba amai. Okay, so we discussed the top of the area of the wall, and we highlighted that as far as the top of the area is concerned, so it's viewed as an independent area. Now, part of the reason why we view it as an independent area is because it has the dimensions of an independent area. That means to say that it is 10 tefachim high, and it's a base area, base minimum area of 4x4, so we know that's an independent area. Now, if we're going to give it a name, so we'd call it a Rishus HaYachid, but by virtue of the fact that it sits there between two properties, so therefore we view it as an independent area, but halacha does regard it as an area. So that means to say that we now understand that members of each of the chatzer can climb to the top of the wall, sit on the top of the wall, even eat on the top of the wall, again, just to clarify and to reiterate what we learned in the Mishnah. You can't bring food up to the top of the wall because it's not viewed, that area on the top is not viewed subordinate to neither of the chatzeros, but what you can do is that if there is food already on the top of the wall, so you can climb to the top, eat on the top, it's viewed as an independent area, but again, its independence is predicated on the fact that it does have the base minimum dimensions. What we are going to discuss now is, what if it doesn't have the base minimum dimensions? Mean to say, let's say the area on the top is less than 4 tefachim. So what would we regard the wall under those circumstances? What can you do, if anything, on the top of the wall? Ein bo arba amai. That's exactly the Gemara's question. And the Gemara begins. Amarav avish te reshuyos shalat esbo, velo yaz esbo afilo melo nima. So Rav is of the position that basically what you have now is you have the airspace of the two reshuyos, which is going to have dominion on that area, and therefore you cannot move anything in that area, not a hair's breadth. Okay, Rashi over here writes regarding the Shita of Rav, the last Rashi on this Amud. Aver beiz reshuyos shalat esbo, kevan. The locha shalem havi reshus. Look, it's not its own independent reshus. It does not have the base minimum dimensions in order for it to be an independent domain. Batel legabe tarvayhu. So now this area on the top becomes subordinate. But subordinate to which of the chatzeros? The answer is going to be both. And because now it's subordinate to both, ureshus beiz chatzer sholet esbo, v'osrim ze al ze. Now remember, we're talking about where these two chatzeros did not make a joint eruv. And as a result of that, afilo arosho osolataltel. I cannot carry on the top of this wall because the way to view now the top of this wall is that basically it is the area of both chatzeros and both chatzeros that are on eruv, meaning these two chatzeros now are coming from two different reshuyos. This is Shitas Rav, a really interesting Shita. The Gemara presents Shitas Rav Yochanan, top of Ein Zayin Amud Aleph. Rav Yochanan Amar Elam Alam Mekan. V'ochlin v'elu malam mekan v'ochlin. So Rav Yochanan's of the position that nothing changed. meaning that each member of each of the chaseros can climb to the top of the wall, although I would caution the climber because the area on the top of the wall is not that wide. Okay, sorry, that was just the parental portion of myself coming out. Anyway, but they can climb to the top of the wall, and they can eat on the top of the wall. Furthermore, Rav Yochanan says, they can even bring things up to the top of the wall. Rashi writes over here, why? Why can they bring things to the top of the wall? Meaning previously when the wall was a base minimum dimension of 4 tefachim, 4x4, so then you couldn't bring to the top of the wall. Now you can, but Rashi explains, sure, because what is Rav Yochanan, how does Rav Yochanan view the top of this particular wall? He views it as a makom patur. Rashi writes on the top, Malin mechatzeran l'rosho, v'hu adin demoridim demakom paturhu, u'batu l'kanu l'kanu l'hakel. So it's a makom patur. And as we learned already numerous times, that when you have an area that's a makom patur, so what one is allowed to do is one can transfer from a makom patur to another reshus. We're going to clarify that point even more in just a moment. But Rav Yochanan says this is a makom patur. And so therefore, each member of the chatzar can go ahead and bring something up to the top of this wall, because the area on the top of this wall is in fact a makom patur. It's interesting, by the way, because the sense you get from Rashi is that Rav Yochanan and Rav obviously at odds with one another in terms of how to view the top of the area of the wall, but there is a point of agreement. Rashi writes over here, we just went through the Rashi inside, and that is that the area on the top of this wall really becomes subordinate to both chatzeros. But what Rav Yochanan is saying is that on one hand, that's true. On the other hand, the area on the top of the wall is a makom patur. So therefore, each chatzar now can carry from their chatzar to the top, because effectively what you're doing is you're carrying from Rishus Yachid to a makom patur, which is perfectly legitimate. And what Rav will tell you is that because we can't ignore the fact that the top of this wall is subordinate to two chatzeros, so therefore the top of the wall is really now, so to say, owned. That's not the best way to describe it, but its domain is governed by two separate entities that are not mu'urav, and so therefore you can't carry it all. But they both, at least to a certain degree, agree that the area on the top is in fact going to be governed by both domains. It's just now a question of, after that point in time, what do you do? What do you say after that point in time? Well, Rav will tell you that because of the tension that exists between these two domains, so therefore you can't carry at all within this parameter. And Rav Yochanan says, no, even though it is governed by the two domains, but because it's a makom patur, so therefore one would be allowed to carry from one chatzar to the top or from the other chatzar to the top. Gemara goes ahead and discusses this even more. Tanan, top of Ayin, Zayin, Amud Aleph. Tanan, we learned Tanan Mishnah, Elu Olin, Mikan Va'ochlin, Elu Olin, Mikan Va'ochlin. So Olin in, Malin Lo. So the Gemara says, well, look carefully at the Mishnah and the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah allows the participants of each of the chaseros to climb, to ascend to the top of the wall, but not be ma'ale, not bring things up to the wall. And Rav Yochanan over here, it sounds like, doesn't sound like, he says that you're allowed to bring things to the top of the wall. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Mishnah is not a question at all. Hachi kamar, yeshbo arba al arba olin in malin lo. Ainbo arba al arba malin nami. So Rav Yochanan will tell you, good, the deal that we made in the Mishnah is excellent. But let's remind each other, the Mishnah is talking about a case where the base minimum area on the top of the wall is 4x4. So now the area on the top of the wall is, in fact, its own independent reshus. Again, because this area on the top now is jointly owned by both of the chatzeros. And again, I'm using the word ownership over here loosely, meaning this is not so much an ownership issue as it is a reshuyos issue, meaning for Shabbos, vis-a-vis Shabbos. So since the area on the top is now going to be governed by both domains, and since it's its own independent area, so one cannot transfer from one reshus yachid to another reshus yachid when they're not mu'urav, when they're not united. And the top of the area of this particular wall is not united with either. That's why the only thing you can do in our Mishnah is only climb to the top of the wall, but you can't transfer to the top of the wall. However, if the area on the top of the wall is less than dalad by dalad, so now it's a makom patur. So now there is no restriction to be able to carry from the chatzar to the top of the wall, because you're not transferring from a reshus yachid to a different reshus yachid, but rather what you're doing now is simply transferring from a reshus yachid to a makom patur. Rav Yochanan says, The Mishnah's diuk is excellent, and in fact, if anything, makes its point. It doesn't challenge its point. The Azar Rav Yochanan Tamei. Now the Gemara points out that Rav Yochanan here being consistent to a shita of Rav Yochanan that we've already seen numerous times. We saw it back in Shabbos. We saw it earlier in Erevin, and that is the following: the Chiyas Rav Dimi Am Rav Yochanan Makom Shein Bo Arba'a Al Arba'a Mutal Livnei Rishus Harabim Ulivnei Rishus Yachid Likatef Alava Vavasha Lo Yachlifu. So we go over a point that we made a number of times, and that is. It said, if I have an area that qualifies as a makom pater, which means it's an area which is not dalet by dalet, it's not 4x4, and it's obviously above ground level. So this area now qualifies as a makom pater. As such, one can on Shabbos for a makom pater transfer from Rishus Yachid to a makom pater, or one could transfer from Rishus Rabim to a makom pater, and obviously go in the other direction as well. What you can't do is you can't be machlif. Machlif means that you can't transfer something from Rishus Yachid to a makom pater, and then, consequently, then transfer from a makom pater to Rishus Rabim. Although, min HaTorah Meikar Adin, that would be okay, but obviously the concern would be is that once you get comfortable with this idea of using your makom pater literally over here as your middleman, so in of itself would be fine, but then what can obviously happen is that people will not realize how important, how significant that makom pater was for that transfer, and then people will just simply transfer directly from the Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim would be Nisa Daraisa. So, to use the makom pater to make one transfer from a Rishus Yachid to the makom pater, or to transfer from a Rishus Rabim to makom pater, that in of itself is perfectly fine, no problem whatsoever. The only problem is hachlafa, is when I do two steps, where what's going to end up happening is that people will take out the makom pater. Good. So that is Rav Yochanan Lishitaso. When I have the wall over here that's less than 4x4, so the top of the wall now is considered a makom pater, and so therefore to transfer from one Rishus Yachid to the top of the wall would be perfectly fine. Now the Gemara says, all's well and good, meaning all's well and good if you're Rav Yochanan. Now if you're Rav, all this now becomes extraordinarily difficult. Because Rav says that you can't transfer from the chatzer to the top of the wall, that's less than 4x4. Rav went even further to say that on the top of the wall itself, you can't move one iota, not a hair's breadth on the top of the wall. I don't understand. Is Rav just ignoring or discarding this idea of makom pater? That's the Gemara's next question. V'Rav leislei de Rav Dimi? So the Gemara says, I don't understand. This idea of makom pater is an established idea. Rashi takes us all the way back to the Gemara in Shabbos, the Braisa, on Davav in Shabbos. So the idea of makom pater is a fundamental idea regarding Rishus of Shabbos. And the idea that you can transfer from Rishus Yachid to a makom pater, that too is fundamental. And so the Gemara says, really, the truth of the matter is, Rav's position right now becomes a very difficult position. So the Gemara's response, Ibi Rishus Daraisa Achinami. So the Gemara says, look, if we were just dealing with a Rishus Daraisa, meaning on one side you had a Rishus Yachid, and on the other side you had a Rishus Rabim. So if we were dealing with just Rishus Daraisa, so the Gemara says fine, meaning of course Rav would be fine with that. However, Hacha b'maiskin b'Rishus d'Rabbanan. But it happens to be over here that the issue is Rishus d'Rabbanan. Rishus d'Rabbanan, what does that mean over here? Meaning on one side you have a Rishus Yachid, on the other side you have a Rishus Yachid. But you also have a rabbinic ban, which is what we've been discussing now. Since the beginning of the sixth parak, we have a rabbinic ban that you're not allowed to carry from one Rishus Yachid, from someone's Rishus Yachid, to another person's Rishus Yachid. And now that you have the wall in the middle, so over here, what the Chachamim are concerned with is that once people get comfortable with the idea of transferring from the Chatzir to the top of the wall, so then they're just going to simply go and jump and go to the other side of the Chatzir. And the Chachamim asu chizuk ledivrei Yosef Mishel Torah. And over here, so think about it. Meaning what comes down now is that if I had Rishus Daraisa, one side of Rishus Yachin, the other side of Rishus Rabim, in the middle Yad HaMakom Pater, fine. To make one transfer would be fine, as we already described. To make two, that's Hachlafa, which we said is going to be Aser. However, over here, when on one side you have Rishus Yachin, the other side you have Rishus Yachin, and you have the rabbinic ban, what the Chachamim said is that, look, over here we're actually going to be more Machmir. And the reason why we're going to be more Machmir is because since the entire institution of Erevin is a din d'rabbanan, asu chizuk l'divreihem. The Chachamim realized that what they had to do is reinforce their rabbinic legislation. As such, even though the wall less than four is a makom pater, still the chachamim banned transferring from the chaser onto the top of the wall, because once you get comfortable there, then you're going to make that second transfer, and then the entire institution of a ruvik chaseros is going to be lost. So the chachamim had to reinforce their takana. Good. So this is all would be a defense of Rav's position. Rav fundamentally agrees with the concept of makom pater, but over here, as we're dealing with the din derabanan and the requirement to reinforce the din derabanan, that's why Rav would argue in this particular case. We're in Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. We're about a third of the way down. Amar Rabba, Amar Ravuna, Amar Rav Nachman. The Gemara quotes the following: B'shem Rav Nachman, Kosto Shemin Shtei Chaser Sido Echad Gavoa Sarat Fachim, V'Sido Echad Shave La'aretz. Knows the nose of Lazer, Shishav La'aretz, Mishum Da Avale Tashmishu Benachas, Ulazer, Tashmishu Bekash, Vechol Lazer Benachas, Velazer Bekash, Knows the nose of Lazer, Oso Lazer, Shitashmishu Benachas. Okay, I know I just read a lot, but the idea is the following. Up until now, we've been working with a case where we're going back to our Mishnah, standard case where I have two chatzeros, a wall, a full wall separating the two chatzeros, and the area on the top of the wall. The area on the top of the wall, we said, is jointly owned by both of the chatzeros, which means, as we learned back in the Mishnah, that the area on the top of the wall is an independent area. But now what we're going to be describing and discussing is that there are going to be occasions where the top of the wall will actually be annexed by one of the chatzeros. When is the annexation going to occur? When its ease of use is going to be easier for one chatzer over that of the other chatzer. So the first halacha that we just read, B'shem Rav Nachman, is that let's say the ground is uneven and that this wall is actually 10 tefachim from one side, but less than 10 tefachim from the other side. Now, if I'm translating the Gemara literally, the Gemara says that it's ground level with the adjoining property, with the adjoining chatzer. Rashi points out over here, it doesn't have to be ground level. It just simply means that it's less than 10 tefachim. Okay, but in any event, so when you have a chatzer where it's 10 tefachim from one side, but less than 10 tefachim from the other side, from the other chatzer, so now we have annexation. Since the top of the wall can be much easier used by the side in which is less than 10 tefachim, so therefore it's going to be surrendered. It doesn't sound like in our Gemara that there has to be any formal acquisition that needs to be done. It will automatically be surrendered to the side in which there is more ease of use. The Gemara points out this is not just limited to the halachas of a wall. Amar Rav Shizbi, Amar Rav Nachman. So the Gemara quotes the second halacha. This too is also said b'shem Rav Nachman. Previously it was Rabba saying b'shem Rav Huna in the name of Rav Nachman. Over here it's Rav Shizbi saying in the name of Rav Nachman. But it's the same Rav Nachman. And that is that we're going to say the same thing regarding a ridge that separates between two chatzeros. Chirit shebein shtei chatzeros. If I have a ridge that is separating between two chatzeros. Now, even before we start with this halacha, so let's just simply put it out there. So a ridge is going to have the same functioning of the wall if the ridge is 10 tefachim deep. That means to say that just like a wall separates two properties when it's 10 tefachim high, a ridge, if it's 10 tefachim deep, are also going to separate two properties. What the Gemara tells us now, B'shem Rav Nachman, is that if I have this ridge where it is 10 tefachim deep, but only from one side, not from the other side, in other words, again, it's uneven property. So, Charisha Ben Sheikh HaTzeres, Tzido Echad Amok Asara, so from one property's perspective, it's 10 tefachim deep. V'tzido Echad Shavel Aretz, on the other side, it's even to the ground. And again, the Gemara over here is not to be taken super literally. Doesn't mean that it has to be ground level. It just simply means less than 10 tefachim. So no, lezeh sheshav la'aretz mishum dehavalei lezeh tashmishah benachas v'lezeh tashmishah bekasha v'chule v'chule. And so therefore, what basically we're going to do is that the area on the bottom of this ridge now will immediately be surrendered to the chatzer where the ease of use is going to be easier. It's the same idea of the wall. In fact, this idea of Rav Nachman now that's been expressed two times. So you know how the Gemara feels when we repeat something unnecessarily. And utzricha. So the Gemara is addressing the idea that they're not unnecessary. Both these points needed to be made. of achrit ba'om kalom misham she'in she'im alo. I might have thought it was as follows. When you're pushing something on the top of the wall, okay, people do that. People like the top of the wall. It's an area that's above ground, and it's a little bit more protected up there. And so, therefore, I can understand how you're going to surrender the top of the wall to the side in which ease of use is going to be made easier. However, when it comes to the the groove, the ridge, so the Gemara says, I might have thought, had Rav Nachman not mentioned it over there, I might have thought that I don't surrender the bottom of the ridge to the side where ease of use is easier. And I could have said that in the case of the ridge, at least you know that when you put the item there, it's not going anywhere. On the other hand, when you put an item on the top of the wall, very possibly the item is going to fall off the wall. In fact, it may even fall on the other property side. So maybe I might have thought that there is no surrendering the top of the wall. So again, that's why Rav Nachman needed to state this halacha, both in the case of the wall and the case of the ridge as well. Adkan. Okay, takes us now to the end of basically our first section of today's daf. We are talking now about a wall. We're talking about the wall separating the two chatzeros. As a result of that, the two chatzeros now have to and can only make an eruv independent one of the other and cannot make a joint eruv. And then the only thing left for discussion is the area on top of the wall. We spoke about it in two permutations. One is when the area on the top of the wall is 4x4, and the second is when the area on the top of the wall is less than 4x4. And we just finished our discussion regarding surrendering the top of the area if, in fact, the top of the area has more ease of use for one chatzer than the other. Gemara now is going to continue its discussion regarding, is there any way of allowing these two chatzeros to make a joint eruv when I have a wall going all the way across? And basically the topic of discussion now for now, to the remainder of today's daf, going into tomorrow's daf, is the topic of miut. Basically what we're going to be talking about is the minimizing of a wall, allowing access from one side to the other side in order to allow the two chaseros to make a joint eruv. Is there any way of miut? The answer is there are many different ways of being memayit. And the Gemara is going to go over numerous ways. For the balance of today's daf, we're going to cover five different ways. There's more than five. But just for today, we're going to go over five different ways in terms of how miut can be done. Rashi over here says, Balamai akosokai. Right now, at this point, Rashi telegraphs the Gemara's suggestion in that we think right now that what we're going to do is we're going to build some sort of mound in front of the wall. So that's what we think right now. That's going to change in just a moment, but just to understand the flow of the Gemara, so Rashi tells us that that's what we're thinking right now. Continuing in the Gemara, Balamite, im yesh b'miyot arba'a, mutar lishamish b'chol hakoso, kulavi im lav, im ishamish ela keneged hamiyot. So over here, if I make a mound in front of the wall, and the mound that I make in front of the wall is 4 tfachim wide, so then I can make use of the entire wall. If it's less than 4 tfachim wide, so then I can only operate within the mound. The Gemara says, I'm such a hard time understanding this. What are you talking about? Manafshach. The Gemara says, I don't understand. I ahani miyuta bekule kosol lishtamish. I lo ahani afilu keneged amiyut nami lo. I don't understand. If the mound is allowing access for the wall and making it now that the wall, which was unpassable, now becomes passable, so what difference does it make? Why are we limiting the mound to only the area of the mound? It's hard to understand. Impossible to understand. So Amar Ravina kegon she'akar chuya mirosha. So the Gemara says, okay, so change of understanding. We're not talking about making a mound in front of the wall, but rather what we're doing is we're actually taking away some of the wall, meaning we're removing material of the wall. When we're removing the material of the wall, now we understand perfectly the difference between less than 4 tfachim and more than 4 tfachim. If it's less than 4 tfachim, it's not viewed as a portal. We go back to yesterday's daf. In yesterday's daf, we learned that a portal connecting two chatzeros, or a portal that could connect two chatzeros, has to be a minimum of 4x4. So what the Gemara now is teaching us is, yes, that's right. So if I'm removing some of the wall, meaning the wall is 10 tfachim high, if I'm removing material of the wall, as long as I remove four tefachim of material from the wall, now it's considered a portal. When it's considered a portal, now basically we have connection between the two chatzeros. So that's one way to be ma'amemait. The Gemara gives us a second route. Amar Rav Yechiel kafasafa memait. Let's say you take a basket and flip it upside down, put it in front of the wall. Good. So now this basket allows people to climb over the wall because it gives you a little jump-off point. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? V'amai davar nita b'shabbosu. V'davar nita b'shabbosu in amamai. A mute of the wall has to be something which is fixed and structured. If all I'm doing is taking a bucket, turning it upside down, so yes, it's true for the time being. That will allow me to jump the wall, but that halachically won't change the status of the wall. One can easily remove the basket, and this is not considered a mute. A mute is something which is fixed and structured as part and parcel of the wall to allow access from one to the other. A bucket obviously could just simply be moved. So the Gemara says maybe we're talking about a bucket where you dig it into the dirt just a little bit. So the Gemara says, that's wonderful. That doesn't make it fixed and structured. The Gemara says, we learned in a brisa, we saw this back in Masechet Shabbos, and here we get the review. Pagash idmina beteven. If let's say I have a fig, it's not ripe. It's called a paga. And what I do is I put it into straw. V'charosh idmina begachalim. Or if we have a cake and we put it in coals. Im megula miksasa, if some of it's revealed, nitla b'shabbos, you can take it out on Shabbos. And the fact that the straw, which is muksa, is going to be moved, you're not directly moving it, you're indirectly moving it. That's called tiltum anatzad. That is acceptable. Same thing is true with the coals. The coals right now are going to be moved when I take the cake out of the coals, but that's tiltum anatzad. The coals are muksa, but not moving them directly, moving them indirectly. So the Gemara says that over here, yes, it's true, some of the dirt's going to get moved, but that's indirect movement, and that's fine. So the Gemara says, Hacha b'may skin, and de'islei ugnayim. So the Gemara says, well, the bucket in question over here has got a rim around it, so when I dig it into the earth, so more of the rim is going into the earth, and therefore you're moving more earth. So the Gemara says, okay, b'chi, islei ugnayim mayhavi v'atzanan. The Gemara says, still, it's not going to make this overturned bucket a permanent fixture over here, and it's not going to be memayit. It's not going to reduce the wall. We learned in a Mishnah, Hatomein Lefes, if it's known, Tachas Agefen. So if we take a turnip or some other root vegetable and we put it in a vineyard and we put it into the ground. Now, why would you do that? In other words, you already plucked it out of the ground, you're putting it back into the ground. So like we discussed already a number of times, you're doing so for good old-fashioned refrigeration. They didn't have refrigerators back in the day, so I've heard. And so the way that you're going to preserve a vegetable is basically by putting it back into the ground, sticking it to the ground. And when you do this, is there any halachic consideration? That's what the Bryce over here is describing. It's actually a Mishnah. The Mishnah over here is describing, the Mishnah in Kalayim is describing whether or not one needs to have any kind of halachic consideration. And the Mishnah basically says it's not a problem. It's not a problem from many halachic fronts. So, Hatomin Lefes, if it's known, Tachas Agefen Bizman, Shim Mitzas Alin Megulin. So, if some of the leaves of this root that you put into the ground are still above ground, which means to say that now I can pull it out, and I don't even have to move dirt. I can just pull out from grabbing the leaves. So, Ein Choshesh Lamishim Kalayim V'Lamishim Ma'aseh V'Lamishim Shvi'is V'Nitalin B'Shabbos. So there is no concern regarding the Isurim of Kalayim, Meiser, Shemitah, and also you can take it out on Shabbos itself. Rashi over here writes, I'm going to explain each one of these, but Rashi over here writes, the idea that the leaves are external from the ground, so Rashi says that's only a Shabbos concern, meaning for Shabbos, so again, the issue over here is basically digging up earth, And problems of both muksa and a possibility of being chofer bekarka, of digging into the ground. So choresh, the malach of choresh. So the leaves that I'm pulling it out from means that I don't have to handle the earth at all. So, but as far as the other halach is concerned, whether the leaves are above the ground or below the ground, Rashi over here says it doesn't really impact the halacha at all. Anyway, but let's go through each of these halachas in particular. The halach of klein, so you're not allowed to plant other seeds together in the vineyard. over here, I'm not planting this in the vineyard. I'm just putting it in the ground in order to preserve it in the ground for a day, for whatever. In other words, but I have no intention of planting it. So under those circumstances, it's not a violation of Kalayim. Next, it's not a violation of Meiser. Now, Meiser over here is an interesting one. Because, in other words, the assumption is that after I plucked it out of the ground, I was mafresh trumas and maisos. Now, it's a vegetable, but still, midrabanan, there is an obligation to take off trumas and maisos from a vegetable. After I separated the trumas and maisos, so then what you did is you put it back into the ground again. Don't worry about trumas and maisos once again. Rashi over here writes, what you might have considered is the fact that when you put it into the ground, it goes through some sort of expansion. It grows a little bit. And so, therefore, I might have thought that I have to take off trumas and maisos on that new growth. Again, not a concern. Shemitah, we know we're not allowed to plant during the Shemitah year. Again, it's not planting, it's preserving. And so, therefore, it doesn't violate the Isser Shemitah. And then, of course, Shabbos, which is the reason why we're bringing this Mishnah over here. In other words, it's not a violation of Shabbos. Meaning, this is not uprooting on Shabbos, which itself is a malacha, because I didn't plant it in the ground. I just put it into the ground for the purpose of preservation, so therefore it's not a violation. And not only is it not a violation of Tolesh, but on top of that also the fact that earth is being moved also is inconsequential. Because again, it's Minatzad. So the Gemara says, so, when I take my bucket and flip it upside down, and even if the bucket has a rim on it, and when I pull the bucket out of the ground, it is no different than the turnip that we just described over here in this Mishnah Kalayim. The turnip you're allowed to pull out of the ground, so the bucket you're also allowed to pull out of the ground. So again, in our second suggestion of how to be mamay at the wall, and that is by simply overturning the bucket and putting it to the ground. And even if, let's say, we kind of settle into the ground with the rim of the bucket, the Gemara says that's not a miyut because that's not a fixed structure. The Gemara says, lo tzricha debay mar v'chatzina. So the Gemara says, well, I didn't just simply push into the earth, but really what I did is I dug it into the earth. In fact, the only way to get it out of the earth is only with a shovel. That's the case where the bucket now is so fixed into the ground. Under those circumstances now, that would be a reduction of the wall because now we are actually looking at a fixed structure. So far, what are some of the ways of basically creating access points in the wall? And allowing the two chatzeros to make a joint eruv if they want. So we've gone so far over two different ways. One is by actually taking away material from the wall, and as long as it's a portal of 4x4 tefachim, so then that goes back to yesterday's daf. Two is by basically making a step stool, but it has to be a fixed structure step stool that I really dig into the ground. So that would be a second way. Now we are up to our third way for this morning, sulam. So sulam ha-mitzri enum amayit v'atzuri amayit. So if you put in a ladder, now the word sulam over here, sometimes a reference to a ladder, sometimes a reference to steps, but either way, if I put in, I'm going to call it a ladder for now. So if I put an Egyptian ladder, so that's not significant, but if I put in a tzuri ladder, so that's going to be significant. So obviously it would be extraordinarily helpful to us if we knew the difference between an Egyptian ladder and a tzuri ladder. Already you can intuit in terms of basically the difference between them is one's temporary and one's fixed. In fact, not only is that good intuition, that is absolutely correct. So if it does not have four rungs, so that's not a permanent ladder, right? It's a step stool. Right, it's a fold up ladder, if you will. So Amalei Rav Acha Brei De Ravela Rav Ashi My Time De Sulam Hamitzri De Lo Mamayit. So why is the Sulam Hamitzri not going to reduce the wall, create a pesach on the wall? Amalei Lo Shmi Alach Hada Amar Rav Acha Bar Hada Amar Rav Hamnuna Amar Rav Bishem Davalei Davar Shenita B'Shabbos V'Chol Davar Shenita B'Shabbos Einu Mamayit. Because you can just simply pick it up and carry it on Shabbos. It's not permanent. It's not a fixed structure. Ihachi Afilu Tzuri Nami. So the Gemara says, so can we say the same thing regarding a Tzuri ladder? So the Gemara says, no. Hasam kovdo kovo. The Gemara says the Tzuri ladder is significantly heavier. It's kovad, its weight, koveya. It will make it a fixed structure. We view the sulam Tzuri as something which is more fixed. Next, Amar Abaye. This is now going to be our fourth way of creating reduction. Abaye says, kosol shemen shechateros. If I have a wall between two chatzeres gavo asar tfachim v'niach sulam rachav arba'a mikan v'sulam rachav arba'a mikan v'ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha tfachim mima'et shlosha eino mima'et. So let's say I have a ladder on each side of the wall. As long as the ladder is basically parallel one with the other, and even if they're a little bit offset, but the offset ladders are less than three tefachim, so we know we have the principle of lavud. Lavud tells us that anything within three is considered as if it's connected. So basically, if the ladders on each side are connected, either literally or halachically, meaning they're within three tefachim one another, under those circumstances, so then that basically takes the place of a Pesach, and now we have a way of allowing these two chatzeros to make a joint eruv. V'lo amaran, even here the Gemara qualifies. V'lo amaran ella d'lo havi kosel arba'a. Avel havi kosel arba'a afilu mufla tuvanami. The idea that the ladders that are placed on each of the sides of the chatzer only will work if the ladders themselves are four tefachim wide and they are parallel to one another. So that is true if the top of the wall is not an area of four tefachim. If the top of the wall is an area of four tefachim, so then as long as you have a ladder on one side of the wall and a ladder on the other side of the wall, it does not matter at that point in time how far the ladders are one from another. So now the chatzeros are considered as if they are connected. Why should that be? So Rashi over here explains, because when the width of the wall is greater than four tefachim, so then what you could just simply do is climb to the top of the wall and walk along the wall to get to the other ladder. So then, under those circumstances, the ladders do not have to run parallel one to the other. They could be distanced from one another, and that would be fine. That also would be considered a connection. Amar Abibi Barabai Bana Itzaba Agav Itzaba. Let's say we make a platform on the side of the wall. This is now going to be our fifth way of creating miut, of reduction, creating a Pesach from one side to the other side. So let's say we make a platform. So, and now the double platform over here, you'll see why in just a moment, we're describing a double platform. Now, if the lower platform is an area of four, so that's significant, and so therefore that already creates reduction. Now, let's say it's a platform on top of a platform. The lower platform happens to be halachically insignificant in that it's less than four tefachim, but the platform above is greater than four tefachim in terms of an area. Ve'ein bein zu lezu shlosha memai. Now, the reason why I need that the platform underneath is just basically to connect it to the ground. Meaning, a platform that just exists in the middle of the wall and is not connected to the ground, so halachically is viewed as nothing. So that platform has to be grounded. So how do we ground? So as long as it's within three tefachim of the ground, or what the Gemara over here is describing, it's within three tefachim of the platform below it, and we'll also add the platform below it is within three tefachim of the ground. So in other words, as long as halacha allows us to project and to basically ground the platform, under those circumstances, even the higher platform, as long as it's 4x4 and it's connected to the ground to the platform below, which is connected to the ground below, so then what we have is another way of reduction, and that's going to be our fifth way of being memai. We're going to pause over here. The discussion continues into tomorrow's daf, so we'll pause at this point in time. Let's quickly recap. Let's review the daf. We have started our next mission here in the seventh parak of Erevin. We spoke about a wall that is a full wall separating two chatzeros. So under those circumstances, those chatzeros now are considered two separate domains, two separate entities. There is no option in such a circumstance to go ahead and to make a single Eruv between the two chatzeros. The Mishnah also went on to describe what happens if the top of the wall is a thick area of four tefachim. So then the top of the wall is considered an independent entity. It is not owned singularly by either one of the chatzeros, and so therefore it's a joint area. To make usage of the top of the wall is perfectly fine for each member of the chatzer, but neither chatzer can go ahead and bring food up to the top of the chatzer, because that area on the top of the chatzer is an independent area. it's interesting. It's jointly owned and therefore independent. Okay. So the that was the Mishnah. The Gemara's discussion, basically three discussions that we had today in the Gemara. Number one is Machlokes Rav and Rav Yochanan. What if the area on the top of the wall is less than four tefachim? So what is that area going to be viewed as? So that is a major debate between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav looks at it as an area now that is jointly owned by the two chatzeros, and because it's not its own independent domain, so therefore you cannot make any usage of the area on top of the wall because it's not a recognized area. Mashenkin, according to Rav Yochanan says, what do you mean? If it's less than four tefachim on the top, so that's called a makom pater. And a makom pater, so you can actually transfer from one chatzer to the top of the wall because that's a makom pater. In fact, the makom pater is a established principle that we had going back to Shabbos. So defending Rav Yochanan was easy. Defending Rav's position was a little bit more challenging, but the Gemara defended Rav's position because Rav agrees to the principle of makom pater. But over here, however, in order to preserve the rabbinic institution of Eiruv Chatzeros, so we're going to be more machmir over here. That is the Gemara's defense of Rav's position. Our second discussion in the course of this morning was what if you have easier access from one of the chatzeros to the wall or to the groove or to the ridge. And that means to say that if from one side the wall is 10 tefachim high, but from the other chatzer, it's actually less than 10 tefachim, it's uneven ground. So under those circumstances, there is an automatic surrendering of the top of the wall to the chatzer that has easier access. That's true both for a wall. It's true also for a ridge. The Gemara went on to explain why Rav Nachman had to state both these halachas. That was our second topic. And our third topic, which really dominated most of the daf today, was that if I have this full wall, is there any way to create a reduction in the wall, a miut, and thereby basically allowing the two chatzeros to make a joint eruv? The answer is yes. Emphatic yes. In fact, so far this morning, we went over five different ways to be memait. I'll go quickly over them in summary form. One is to take actual material off of the wall, so basically creating a portal of like the chalom we discussed in yesterday's daf of an area of 4x4. Two is to create a fixed platform. The Gemara described it as an overturned bucket, but it's much more than that. It's really digging it into the earth in order to create a fixed platform so that you could just simply hop over the wall. But it has to be where I really dug the overturned bucket into the ground in front of the wall. Three is we put a ladder, but not a temporary step ladder, but a heavy ladder in front of the wall, allowing people to go ahead and scale the wall. Four is putting a makeshift ladder on one side that's four tefachim, a makeshift ladder on the other side that's four tefachim. They have to be running parallel one with another, so that would be considered a Pesach as well. And finally, number five, even within number four, if the wall thickness is greater than four tefachim, so then the ladders don't actually have to be facing one another, because you could just simply go to the top of the wall, and you can just simply traverse from one ladder to the other ladder. And finally, number five is by building a platform. But the platform has to go all the way down to the ground. So that can be done either, and the platform has to be significant in area. If the platform is an area of four tefachim, and it is connected to the ground through the principles of Lavud, so that also would be a miyad as well.